Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're used to our culture. We don't really consciously for example, when you come into this church this morning, and if you call this your church home and you've been here a fair amount, you kind of know what to expect. You know, you kind of know unwritten do's and don'ts of the culture, this little subculture. You know the culture. If you live in Sparta area, you know the culture of the town. You're used to Midwest culture. Now, if you've traveled overseas or to, those would be drastic changes. You know, each place has its culture. You go there, you're not maybe quite sure what to expect. You may be instructed by someone if you have that luxury. Otherwise, if you're just kind of going on your own, you don't know whether to bow. You don't know whether to shake hands. You don't know do you hug? What do you do? And, this whole contact and touching it's a way of communicating. When you come in this morning, if this is your first time here, this might be different than other churches you've been to. You may go to some that you walk in, say hi, hand it a bulletin, and you go into the sanctuary, and you sit down, and it's very quiet. And nobody's really talking, and you whisper. You know, you come into this place this morning, and people are talking, and I say go and meet some people, and conversations erupt all over the room where, it just gets loud in here. And, it's different. Maybe it's somewhere in between some places you've been. You know, cultures are different. The whole, touching and communicating, the shaking hands. Andy, come on out here for a second, will you? This is my buddy Andy Raymer. You're probably pretty comfortable with this, shaking hands, right? Yeah. Because you're used to it in this culture. We might even press you a little bit to shake hands, kind of bump your body, no big deal, yeah, that's who we are, that's cool. Hugging, I don't know if that freaks you out or not. is that kind of getting used to that, or that's, no, cool. It's okay, it pushes you a little bit. Yeah, in some cultures, they kiss each other. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm not in that culture.
All right.
Okay. And not just kissing. Sometimes they kiss each other on the cheek, or they pretend to kiss each other. There are some cultures and subcultures, even America, where they kiss each other on the lips when they see each other. Settle down, Andy.
Right.
If you were kind of looking forward to that, we have other issues.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. So there's that kind of thing that we're used to, we're comfortable with. Bumping each other, shaking hands, hugging. In some cultures, they just put their hands on each other's shoulders. If, they greet each other like this if they're friends. Okay, you're getting really nervous this morning.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
We're done with the kissing thing, there's just different ways. In some cultures, there's not a lot of touching. That would be inappropriate or not that it's inappropriate touching. It's just their culture. Turn around. See, now that's like, hey, good game. Right? That wasn't like getting fresh. It was like, hey, good game. You're coming back to the bench. You're going out on the floor. You swat each, right? Right? So I wasn't getting fresh with you or anything. Thanks for not turning around and, taking a swipe at me, but you can sit down now. He did good, didn't he? You go back in Bible times and there were, things that you communicate and do and how you receive each other. For example, Brittany, come on up here. This is my oldest daughter. She'd come over here. Come over here. Greet me like I'm your dad. See, she would just come in and do that. All right. Now, if you were a lady here who maybe has visited here once, hi, buddy, or maybe a second time, and you came up and just gave me that kind of embrace, people who don't know me or know you, they would assume that, is that his wife or a relative or whatever? You see what I'm saying? She comes up and I can be talking to somebody. She can come up and do this. And it's normal. And most of you know this is, you know, like I said, this is my daughter. So she can do this. This is appropriate. That's cool. Thank you, honey. You can do that anytime you want. And she knows that. So, you know, there's appropriate boundaries to communicate certain things. And in the Bible, you know, there are many, in Bible times and in the culture in that part of the world, there were things that were very customary. One of the things I want to talk to you this morning about that you'll see in the Old Testament and in the New, and actually Jesus talked about it, is this whole understanding and concept about the laying on of hands. Okay? And what does that mean? Because we see that it's actually one of the ordinances or doctrines of the church is the laying on of hands. Well, what does it mean? Why is it important? You know, this particular expression, physical expression, that happens. If we were to look in the Old Testament, one of the places that, and there's several places, but one of the places that you'll find the laying on of hands and one of the purposes for it was when you look at Jacob and his son Joseph brought, his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to be blessed, okay, to be blessed by grandpa, who was Jacob. And so Joseph brings his two sons, Jacob's grandsons, brings them in to be blessed. And so you will see that Jacob lays his hands upon his son, on his grandsons. And actually, he was supposed to put his right hand on the eldest, but he switched it. In fact, Joseph tried to correct him and say, Dad, you got it backwards here. And he said, no, because he was sensitive to what the Lord was doing. And he actually changed what hands he laid. And he put his right hand upon the second son and his left hand upon the eldest. See, the son with the right hand got the greater, or the grandson got the greater blessing. And the other son still got blessed. It was just a lesser blessing. And it happened by the laying out of hands. So I want you to understand that, you know, the laying out of hands, one of the biblical reasons is that we lay hands to extend blessing. All right? Another place you'll see in the Old Testament where there was laying out of hands, you will find this in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, where the Lord spoke to Moses. And he told Moses, he said, we need to prepare for God's people, your successor. Okay? So take Joshua and present him to the priest, and he gives him some instructions on what to do. And then you'll find it in Deuteronomy, what was the result of that when God spoke that to Moses, is that Joshua now was going to be brought before God's people, and he was going to be recognized, and he was going to be presented. And Moses is to take his hands and lay it upon Joshua. Lay his hands upon Joshua. And in doing this, it was a representation to the people that Joshua has been chosen and selected and that he is set apart for a specific task or calling. And so that's what unfolds. Moses basically brings Joshua up and it's an inauguration. It's like similar to when I went through my schooling. I went into full-time ministry. I applied to be a licensed minister. And then after you're in the fellowship of the Assemblies of God, after you're a licensed minister and you have been active in ministry for 2 full years, and once again you'll write exams and you'll go through interviews with the presbytery, the leadership of your district. And if they, you know, deem and look at references and everything else that there is this call of God upon your life and you've been faithful in ministry, they have you come up at a district council. It's where your district, and our district here, just so you know, is Wisconsin and Northern Michigan. That is the district that we're in. And so we have a district summit every year where we do annual business. One of the things that they do is they have a a service on the closing night for those who are being ordained. So after licensed minister, you can apply to be ordained, an ordained minister, after 2 years of full service. So what happens in this service one of the things that they do is they have the presbytery and sometimes some additional pastors from the district and their spouse come up and they stand across the front. And then they call out these ordination candidates. And they come up and stand across the front and face them. And then they pray for them. And what they do is they take and they lay their hands upon the minister who is being ordained. And they lay hands on him or her. And it is a sign that they have been set apart for a specific task, position, authority, or calling. And so that's another reason the laying on of hands takes place in Scripture, is for the setting apart, like Moses did with Joshua. If you look at the New Testament, there I want us to kind of pick up at the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and at the closing portion of this passage, this chapter, Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says something that what they're supposed to do. And it starts out, and it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes is baptized and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" So here we are, Jesus speaking. We found out that the laying on of hands in the Scripture talks about blessing someone, ordaining someone for a specific purpose or call or task. And now Jesus is talking about the laying on of hands that comes, that will bring healing to the sick. It's interesting that when Jesus talks about this, laying hands on the sick, that he for healing, that he didn't indicate any time. He didn't say, "You lay your hands upon the sick, and they will be healed immediately." Now, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that, at least what's recorded, we see that happen almost all the time, that they were immediately healed. And so we get this understanding and concept that when that happens, everybody should be immediately healed. But I want you to know that he didn't give a time frame. So some have, and maybe even in this room, have been healed immediately or instantly. Some, it's gradual. You pray for them. We lay hands on them. And they may feel something. Sometimes a person praying feels something. We see this through history, revivals, even in this church. That sometimes, you know, when I'm praying with someone, for example, I do. I feel this. There is something going on here. I mean, whether it's a warmth or something happens. For the person sometimes receiving the prayer, it's happened where they feel like they can't stand up. They fall to the floor. In the first service, I had a lady testify, prayed with her. She had night tremors several months ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. She had terrible night terrors. And it was during a time of worship. You know, sometimes I walk around and greet people and pray with some people while everybody's worshiping. Just sometimes I do that. And I happened to see her, and she's been struggling with night terrors and told me. I said, "Let's pray for you that the Lord would deliver you." So I laid hands upon her and prayed for her, and she fell back down into the pew. And then she tried to get up again, and she said, I can't stand up." I said, "Well, it's okay, just sit down. You know, it's okay." And this is all strange and new to her. And it's okay, it doesn't happen like this for everybody. Sometimes the person praying feels something, sometimes the person receiving feels something, and sometimes neither of you feel anything. It's not about the feeling. It's about what we know to be true. It's about faith in Christ and being faithful, doing what we are supposed to do. And it's not, our righteousness anyhow. It's about the righteousness of Christ, what he has done, who he is, And through his blood, the forgiveness that cleanses us and makes us righteous, to try to empower us that we could walk worthy of the calling, knowing that we're all flawed, we will need continued forgiveness, we will need to repent, we will need to continue to come to God. And so she was in the first service and had her testify. She hasn't had a night terror since. And she said, yeah, the Lord does that. So that's what he does. So anyhow, you know, for those of you who had bad dreams, that's one thing. Night terrors are a whole different deal. In fact, her family members who visit from out of town, they don't even want to stay overnight anymore because it kind of freaks them out. It's what happens. So she hasn't had it for months. She was here this morning. She says, you know, Pastor, I still feel this lightness. I said, when God takes a burden or oppression away from us, there's a new freedom that comes. You're not walking with what you've been used to walking with. And so, you know, sometimes you feel something, sometimes you don't. At that moment, God obviously touched her, but she didn't know that she was delivered immediately until when? She went to bed that night and slept through the night and got up in the morning and no night terror. Then night two. Same thing. Slept, no night terror. Three, four. And all of a sudden we're rolling into 4 or 5 months that he delivered her. Sometimes it's gradual. Krista Garmel, come down here, hon. You shared something with me, and I know that we didn't plan this, but, you know, forgive me. Chris was attending a church, and she visited kind of a Pentecostal or AG church, just to give you a little history. And tell us about your legs.
Well, when I was born, my left leg...
Stand up here, if you will.
My left leg was constantly like this when I was born. And I don't know, when I was a kid, they would put a boot on your leg with these bars that came down the side to try to correct your...
In the old days.
In the old days, yeah. Yeah, you'd walk around, you look like Frankenstein. You had these, whatever. You know, with like a joint, and mm-hmm. it had these metal bars. They put that on my legs, and this one corrected, which, you know, a lot of people were pigeon-toed when we were little. This one corrected, this one did not. As I got older, I experienced a lot of pain in my hip and my legs. This mm-hmm. leg constantly. So I went to this church, and there was a guy there that was laying hands on people, and I thought, okay, this is really strange and new to me, but I'm gonna go and see, because this is really bothering me. Mm-hmm. And he did. He laid hands on me, and I felt just this warmth, like electrical shock, go through my body. It didn't happen immediately, the change, but over the next 2 months, my leg popped and cracked, and I literally could feel my muscles, my bones, everything moving. And at one point, I could not stand like this. I stood like that because my leg would not bend. Now I can stand like this, which I could never do. Originally, I could go all the way around backwards and stand up straight, which I can't do now either.
So, good.
That's a good thing.
Good thing.
So after that, it was like, wow, the Lord really did do an amazing thing, and it changed my thinking about a whole section of the Bible that had been left out of the church that I had been attending. And this is real. He really can touch you and change your life.
Thanks, Chris. Felt a little something, didn't know she was healed, and it was gradual over time, the repairing and the healing. It started, but wasn't complete till later. When Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, he didn't say immediately. He didn't say, well, it's always going to take time. But we need to know that some healings happen instantaneously, and some it's a progression. And during that progression period, I want you to make a side note. If you're the person that comes to be, you know, prayed for at some point, and people lay hands on you, and we express faith, and you walk away and you feel like, man, nothing really happened. Remember, our faith transcends feeling. It's not based on feelings, okay? Our feelings are all over the place any given day for all of us. Some of us, it's a little, you know, more extreme than others. But, you know, we can't base our life on the feeling. The feelings are nice, but it's about faith and faithfulness and obedience and doing what we know to be true and what we're instructed to do. And so sometimes people don't feel anything. And for the person who doesn't necessarily feel anything, or they don't feel like they were instantaneously healed, we want to continue to cooperate with God. In other words, I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep getting prayer. I'm going to, you know, continue to trust God. I'm not going to allow my circumstances, situation, to rob my faith just because maybe I didn't receive an instantaneous healing. Remember, Jesus never said, lay hands on them and instantly they'll be healed. Many times it happens that way. Other times for people, it's a gradual thing. What about your deliverance? Sometimes it's like this. You've been delivered. The desire's gone. You don't XYZ anymore, whatever it is. For others, they feel empowered. They still feel temptation. They work through it. And all of a sudden, in a six-week period or whatever, they're like, I have totally delivered. I don't have the desire. I received prayer. I've been in the Word. I've been talking with the Lord. He's been helping me. I've had asked for gift. But I'm you know, time has gone by now, and it's been 3 years, and I don't XYZ anymore. And it was a progression. He walks us out of it. Sometimes he just transports us out of it. And so, you know, be careful about, I want you to have faith, but don't let your faith dissipate because something didn't happen like you, from your perspective, thought. Let it be tested. Maybe the pain's gone, but you're going to know, because if you haven't been able to touch your toes and you can go home and touch your toes, I guess you're healed. Well, maybe before you could only get to your knees, but after prayer, you got halfway down your shins. There's a progression. Keep bending. Keep praying. Keep getting prayer. See? Cooperate with the Lord and what the Spirit's doing. And so I want us to be careful about, not about our expectation, because that's attached to our faith and our hope, but don't discredit because something didn't happen the way it happened for someone else, or discredit because it didn't happen the way you want or you thought it would happen. Let's trust the Lord and keep walking in faithfulness. Understand this laying on of hands. In fact, here, let's do this. Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. I'll probably start a little sooner than that. Verse 13. James instructs, he says, if anyone among you, if they're suffering, let them pray. So if you're here this morning and you feel like you're suffering, he's writing a prescription for you. Oh, for those of you who are suffering, let them pray. He says, is anyone cheerful or happy? Well, there's a prescription for that too. Okay? Not that, okay, they're happy, we want to write a prescription to get them back down here where the rest of us are. No, no. It's if they're cheerful and happy, let them sing praises. Then he goes on. He says, is anyone among you sick? Then let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. You know, we have vials of oil here, and from time to time we take a little bit and we anoint people with it. There has been a couple occasions in my life of ministry so far where I felt like a little dab wouldn't do you. Okay? And I got quite generous with them. I didn't ask permission. I just did it. If it's going to wreck their outfit, I'll buy them a new one because this is way more important. Now, I want you to know, what heals the person who's sick that calls for the elders? Is it the oil that heals them? No. It's the prayer of faith that heals them. So then why do we use the oil? Well, there's much you can teach on this, but you know, oil is one representation of the Holy Spirit. Oil is also something they used for anointing those who are set apart or those who are to be consecrated. Oil was also used in the dressing of wounds to enhance healing and protect it from further infection. You know, so here we are, and, you know, so we anoint with oil, but it's not like oil has to be there. I mean, what happens if you run into somebody who needs healing, they want prayer, and you don't have any oil? What are you going to say? Sorry, man, I can't pray for you. I don't have the oil. You're not going to do that because it's about the prayer of faith. This is an expression. There's nothing magical and mystical about the oil in these vials. You have to be careful that we don't attach our faith to articles. Okay? Even the hankies that, you know, Paul touched and prayed over, and they would take these handkerchiefs to the sick people, lay it on the sick people, and they would be healed. You know, we don't start a doctrine on, oh, hankies. Okay? We don't start a doctrine on it. It wasn't the hanky that did the healing. It was the prayer of faith by Paul glorifying the Lord, knowing that he couldn't get to everybody, and so he would do this. And on that occasion, you know, it's like the wife, the stories I've heard over the years of wives. Watch it, unsaved husbands. Or nominal Christian husbands. Because if you have a real radically saved wife, I want you to know there's a great chance that she's putting her hand on your pillow during the day while you're at work, praying for you. The pillow you're resting your head on. I've heard the stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying it can't work the other way either, but you understand. There's nothing magical about the pillow. Okay? But it is an expression of faith, just like the laying on of hands. It is an expression of faith, of my inward, you know, where faith is at is in here. It's an inward attitude. It's a belief that we have. And anytime we have faith, there's got to be some kind of outward expression. If you put faith in Christ, there better be some outward expression that you have been transformed and you're following Christ, right? Attitude, the way you talk, make decisions, the way you live, you know, all of those things, the way you treat people, all of that. Outward expressions, a result of faith. So this laying on of hands is an expression of faith. It's a point of contact. It's expressing faith to be set apart or to give blessing or to give healing. Okay? And so you see James and he says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church to anoint you with oil, to pray over you, to pray for you, to lay hands upon you, that you would be healed. And it says this, if any, we'll keep reading here. It says, if that person has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to the other and pray for one another that you may be healed. This whole confessing your sins, that's kind of a scary thing. It's like, Lord, can't you just heal me without me confessing my sin? Do I really have to go to somebody and tell them my dirty laundry? It doesn't mean you go telling everybody. But if there's an occasion where you need to confess to a trustworthy brother or sister or someone in the Lord, okay? If it's plaguing you, it's troubling you, you've asked God to forgive you, and it's just, you need to confess it. Let me tell you about the beauty of confession. When you confess, it's like you're unloading something, and it makes room in you, and it makes room for healing and something good to happen in your life. I'm just telling you. It's why people like going to therapists and counselors. Oh, if I could just unload this stuff and get it off my chest, I'm just going to feel better. Well, it's a confession principle, but in the context of Scripture, it's not just feeling better for a moment. It's that the sin's actually forgiven and removed. It's a spiritual sickness. Sin is a spiritual sickness. So, confessing and receiving prayer is part of the healing. We confess to Christ, and He hears our prayers. If we are faithful, you know, if we are honest and we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says that. He'll cleanse us, so we confess, we're honest with Him. There's a time that you might feel like, I need to confess to a brother, I need to confess to a sister. And, you know, as you confess that to them, man, may, you know, it's under the blood, and maybe it's some humility, but he gives grace to the humble. And so here's this principle that is the laying on of hands. Now, it says here that the person, if they're sick, they should call for the elders. I want you to know that the chance of an unbeliever walking into my office during the week saying, hey, listen, I don't go to church here, but could you call the elders to come in, anoint me with oil, and pray for me? Generally speaking, this passage is for those who are already connected to a body of believers that they understand, hey, we've got elders, we've got some deacons, we've got pastors. I'm sick, I need prayer. Can you rally some of these people to anoint me with oil and pray for me that I would be healed? So understand that this concept is for somebody who is already connected to the body. It's another benefit of not just attending church, but to be connected to a body of believers. It's a ministry thing that happens for us. The other thing is, if we go back to Mark chapter 16, where I read basically where Jesus says, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it says these signs will follow. And he says they will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Now this here, that part isn't necessarily for those who are already connected to a body of believers. It's go and preach the gospel to the world, to those who are lost, to those who don't know Christ personally as their Savior. And when you do that, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be made well. In other words, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of God's word. Like in the book of Acts, it says they preached God's word and the Lord worked with them and he was doing signs and wonders. In other words, you know, like Chris said this morning, she was here, she's like, you know, this is all weird to me, this is new to me. They're giving attention to a whole part of the Bible that I really didn't know about. I went to a different church where they just kind of focused on part of the Bible, not the full gospel. And I don't know about this, but I'm hurting and man, I'm going to go try it. And this happens for Chris. Well, her faith is lit up. Whoa, Jesus is real and healing happens. And it's a sign that that which is proclaimed about Christ is true. There's a sign that confirms the preaching of the gospel. And so there's a whole evangelistic part all coming out of this laying on of hands. Because the laying on of hands, once again, it's just an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith. There's nothing weird about it. I mean, most of you shook hands this morning or got hugged or hugged somebody in this place or high-fived or did something or bumped into you. You already been touched. I don't mean touched. You know, we've all been, you know, contact has been made. Why is it that we get so weirded out or freaked out that now somebody's going to touch us and pray for us? When the scripture, Old Testament and New, both talk about the laying on of hands. To give blessing, to set apart, for healing.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.